If you could turn to John chapter 15. So we're going to go back to here, and Mr. Smith spoke, just gave us some wisdom from there, and I'm going to continue on. Actually, I'm going to start with Gabriel. So Gabriel's going to read starting in verse 9.
As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
Thank you, Gabriel. I know I'm struggling with this thing. I never liked these at first, but you know what? I kind of like it now. You have this freedom, kind of move around, you know, kind of break the rules a little bit. I don't have to be there. I don't have to. So I like this. Yeah, John chapter 15. I've spoken, I spoke on this maybe 4 months ago. We talked about abiding in the Lord. Abiding in the Lord is to rest with, to dwell with, to remain with. And I mean, not just kind of in a casual way, but almost in an intimate way. And I want to continue on with this chapter. So much here, so much in the second half of it. Thought I'd continue on. I really hope I touch on what I need to touch on. So maybe I should pray. Dear God, there's so much here. Your word is so full. It's so rich. It's just endless. And I just have the privilege to come up and proclaim it. I just help me do it justice, Lord. Help me just to have words and thoughts that are from you. Please bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so beginning in, again, John 15, starting in verse 9, as the Father loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. And this is interesting because it kind of struck me. It's a little bit different. It's not abide in me. Jesus is getting a little specific here. Abide in my love. So kind of, you know, calls to mind the question, you know, okay, so how do we do that? And if we continue on in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Just love it here. It you know, this is scripture is telling us, you know, how we're going, not only how we're going to do it, but what is the example we have to follow? And we have the example of Jesus, the Word made flesh, and now reading back in the Word here, we could just kind of follow his life and how Jesus was just so obedient, so perfectly obedient to keeping his Father's commandments, abiding in his love. Verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. And I spoke on this last time briefly, and I just love this. I love how, you know, I it's almost like enough abiding in God, right? I mean, like, what a privilege that we as believers can abide in him and somehow to rest in him somehow. But the Lord's always, there's just goodness in him, goodness as a father. You know, as a father, you want to lavish goodness on your children. And I think the Lord does it in such a perfect way because, you know, he talks about joy. And this is a good reminder for me because, you know, sometimes I still pursue joy of the world, or I think I'm going to have joy by having this or this job or this over here. But all the joy I need is right here, that God's joy might remain in me. You know, that should be enough. That should be the joy that I need. And again, just being a generous father, that your joy may be full. So you may ask, like, what is the commandment? What are we talking about? What is the commandments we need to keep, or what is the commandment we need to keep? And in verse 12, Jesus reveals this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is a, you know, if you read John, you're going to read this, right? I mean, John talks about love. And you know, Jesus says there's you know, he sums up the law in two commandments, right? I mean, you know, loving the Father with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is like this, okay? Love one another. And this is important to Jesus. This is repeated so often. And again, what I love about the Word always affirms itself, or the Word might further explain. So this Father's love is so wonderfully talked about in 1 John chapter 4. I'm just going to read from verse 7. Just listen if you want. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this love of God, and then he explains, like, what, you know, what is this kind of love from God? In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, you know, a sacrifice for us, for our sins. And then just knowing this, right, knowing this, that we have this almighty, amazing God who saw a rebellious creation and says, you know what they need? They need my Son. I'm going to send my Son there. And it wasn't going to be like a fun vacation trip for Jesus. This was going to be death on a cross, a horrible crucifixion, you know, being abandoned, you know, not only by his friends, but by his own Father, you know, all for our sake, all for our sake. And it says at the very end here, in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. You know, that should be motivation enough, you know, seeing how God loved us and just how he sent his only Son to be sacrificed for us. That should be just motivation enough to love one another. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I know we hear this is read a lot at weddings, but it's just a really great, so much in here and just so great about what love is and what it's not. And I'll just read, starting in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil and does not rejoice in iniquity. But here's what it does do. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then it finishes by saying, love never fails. So, again, just personally, what I love about Scripture is just how it affirms itself, you know, how we get clarity in other Scripture here as well. Okay, so where am I? Let's see. Okay, so picking up in verse 13, going back to John 15, picking up in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. I just chuckle at that, because you imagine just a friend coming up to me, like, you'll be my friend if you do whatever I tell you to do. What do you say to that? But this isn't, right? I mean, this is Jesus. This is God incarnate that's saying this. And he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master's doing. But I call you friends for all things. I'll read that again. For all things I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I'm like, what? Does it get any better? Like, you know, we have a God who, he saved us and he calls us and he's taken us out of the world and we've become children of him. And now he's saying, I'm going to call you friends. And not only that, I'm going to reveal things to you. I'm going to give you revelation to you. I mean, the Father just lavishing goodness on us. This whole section I just read, I can't do it justice. My notes are probably, it's just best to read those maybe to explain this. So it says, just as Abraham was called the friend of God, I guess this is in 2 Chronicles, and even James references that, because he enjoyed extraordinary access to the mind of God through God's revelation to him, which he believed. So also those who follow Christ are privileged with extraordinary revelation through the Messiah and Son of God, and believing become friends of God also. It was for his friends that the Lord laid down his life. I just love how that's said. Okay. Picking up in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And, this just calls to mind just being chosen by God. Again, I just want to be in awe of that. I never want to just let that, that phrase go, right? Like, many are called, but few are chosen. Wow, am I really one of the few? You know, and again, it makes me think of Ephesians, right? In Ephesians, God says, hey, I predestined you even before the start of time. I mean, it's just, that's just amazing that the choosing was done then. Not only are we chosen, but the Lord has good works for us, for fruit. You know, I loved what Mr. Smith said earlier, is just, let our words, and let our thoughts in that, let that be fruit, what we share in communion there. And God has these. He has these wonderful good works for us. You know, they're there. They're waiting. And, just quickly, if you ever want to know, what the Lord wants you to do, this might sound a little crazy, but just go ask him. Ask him with a sincere heart. I've done this many times. Every time, he will give me a good work to do. He will, hey, Lord, it might just be a prayer like, Lord, just been, dwelling a little bit too much on myself, Lord. I want to serve you. I know I'm created to serve you. Just have a heart to serve you, Lord. Just, what can I do? What good work can I do for you? And he always sends it. He always just blesses. He'll bless you with that. Verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. So again, we finish out this section with just reemphasizing loving one another. And, I'll just tell you, and when I read this part, I can't think of it as believers, just a wonderful way to love one another is being part of the assembly. That we're commanded not to forsake the assembly, we're commanded to participate in the assembly. And I know, personally, I could do probably a little bit better with that. But it just brings to mind, and I'm not thinking of anyone really in this assembly, but my wife and I just, as we get older, just come across more and more people. It's almost like the go-it-alone attitude with Jesus. I just need me and Jesus. Like, I don't go to church. Maybe they had a bad experience or something. There's some hurt or something like that. And they just kind of, swear it off. And I'm not talking about people who are infirmed. They can't make it consistently or anything like that. But it's more and more just running into just more and more people. I'm done. I don't need to go to church or anything like that. And in this whole, what we're talking about, abiding, right? We're told to abide in Lord and to produce fruit. And the Father says, abide in my love and love one another. And I thought of what Mr. Sean Riley read last week. In Colossians, this is Colossians chapter 3, pick it up in verse 12, and he says, this is what he says, or this is what the word says, Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. When I read this verse, we're talking about the elect of God, right? The elect of God, his church, in doing things with one another. I can only think of the church in this context. And look at, you know, again, with the Lord command us not to forsake our assemblies, okay? And when we come and when we participate, look at the fruit here. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. You know, it's so wonderful. You know, we just prayed for Michelle there. And, people are just praying hard for her, but people are trying to help out too. You know, going up to that family, what do you need? And things like that. That's what an assembly's for. It's to help with that. You know, myself here, I mean, personally, how many of you have come up like, hey, I may have a job lead for you, or there may be, I could talk to this person or do this person. You know, again, this is what the assembly is for, those burdens and bearing with us and helping and kindness and that. So wonderful. And maybe just to finish up this thought, I just think of, you know, what is the church? What does Jesus call the church? He calls it his bride, right? I mean, this is, bride is intimate. Like, that's important, right? You know, your bride is, one of the greatest things in my life. And, I just think of, like, what is my bride? What is my wife? She's my helpmate. And you know, we are called to come to the assembly, to help, to serve, to want to serve the Lord. And you know, you think of the hymn, the church is one foundation. You know, read those lyrics. I mean, just incredible. What, you know, the sacrifice and everything involved to build the church to what it is and how important that is to the Lord. So important he calls it his bride. And just to say to that, no, I don't need that, Lord. I'm just going to go off and do it myself. I'm saddened. Personally, I'm just saddened by that. Okay, let me continue. Verse 18, going back to John 15, verse 18. So now probably the only way I could describe this is we've kind of gone from a softer topic to more of a harder topic here. And it starts off with this, okay? It's really, my title is The World's Hatred. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You know, absolutely true. That statement should be comforting, I think, to us. You know, the God of the universe, the Savior of our world, was hated, before we were living in this world. And then it continues in verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Like, how true is that? If you were of the world, as believers, we're no longer of the world would love its own. And isn't, you know, if we were in the world, we would accept its values, we'd participate with what they participate, we would call whatever they call good, we would call good, whatever they call evil, we would call evil. It would be the easy button. You know, it just would be the easy button. And just maybe one small example from my own life is, this past job search, these 4 months, probably had maybe around 10 interviews, and something happened that never happened to me before, and maybe it's just an indication of where this world's heading. I had to cancel two of those interviews. I had to call them up, and I said, hey, you got to withdraw my name. I'm not interested anymore. And the reason why is I would research the company. And they just were involved, you know. When you apply, you just have a nebulous name. I don't really know what they are. But before the interview, I want to know something about the company, so I'm prepared. And a couple of them just really involved in some unbiblical, sordid things. And I just like, I can't participate in that. I can't be a part of that. I can't help you with those unbiblical activities. So just, maybe an indication of how the world is now, but again, nevertheless, it's the world. I shouldn't be surprised. Okay, continuing on. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Interesting, you know, in a way, an intimidating statement, but yet, for me, like a comforting statement. Like, wow, I was taken out of this. I'm no longer part of that. I'm no longer pursuing that. The Lord just reached out to me. He called me. He chose me. He pulled me out of that. And I'm more comforted by that personally. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. And I don't know if my thing fell out, but I'll try to read it. This reminds me, this last part of this, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. Remember that, because they do not know him who sent me. So I think it's in Matthew chapter 6, and it's right around the Beatitudes. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Sorry, Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and exceedingly be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were also before you. So, just what a wonderful thought. Like, you know, what a wonderful command that when we're persecuted, when this persecution happens, like, jump for joy. You did this for my sake. We did it for the King of Kings, the God of Gods, and maybe that's just a reminder of that we're just passing through, you know, right? We're just not, you know, this isn't our home, right? It's foreign. It should start to look more and more foreign to us. So just what a wonderful thought. Just love that beatitude there. Okay, let me continue. I think it's verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Just really interesting verse. Just a couple, I think, chapters prior to that. Maybe it's in chapter 14. You know, he talks about, you know, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And now it's, you know, when you've hated me, you've hated the Father as well. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. That's a powerful statement. You know, if you think about, like, the miracles and the good things Jesus did, like, objectively, I think you got to say, these are good things, right? This person was healed. This son was healed. This son was brought back to life. I mean, you know, good things. And despite, you know the Pharisees of the day and the leaders of the day, despite seeing those good things, still hated him for it. Terrible. Verse 25, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And that comes from actually three Psalms, Psalm 35, Psalm 69, and I believe Psalm 109. But again, just Jesus, you know, drawing from the Old Testament and showing how that becomes fulfilled in his own life with the Messiah. Okay, I'll finish up with verse 26 here. But when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So, which is really interesting, you know, we're talking about abiding, and there's a verse about, this verse about the Holy Spirit coming down. Jesus speaks about this earlier in John as well, and he says, I will send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and he will come and abide in you. And that's it's interesting because we're talking about abiding in Christ, and it's like, wait a minute, like the God of the universe is going to abide in me, is going to come in, the Holy Spirit is going to come in and dwell in me and remain in me. And there's, you know, there's a lot of titles with the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, it's the Spirit of truth. It's the Spirit of righteousness. It says right here, you know, the Spirit of truth and righteousness is, it, you know, helps guide us, right? Helps guide us in this world, help convict us in this world. You know, it makes me think of the verse in Paul, right? He talks about, you know, laying down with a prostitute. Would you lay down with a prostitute knowing you have the Holy Spirit in you, right? I mean, it's not like God's off on a hill and just trying to see what I'm doing wrong. He's right here. He's right here. And to, you know, to just knowingly commit transgressions, knowing he's right here. I mean, it's just be so convicting. You know, the Lord, the God, this helper he gives us is right here. And that alone should just convict us, just convict us, just to pursue holiness, pursue righteousness. Let's see. And it says, you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And it's just wonderful. I mean, the Spirit is not just the Spirit of truth, Spirit of righteousness, but the Spirit is also, you know, as we saw in Pentecost, it's a Spirit of courage, right? I mean, the apostles became emboldened and had courage to go out and proclaim the gospel, and, you know, and that's what we're called to do. We have that Spirit in us that is just there to guide us. I mean, you know, later on it talks about, like, the words are even given to us and things, and I'm sure there's people here who have that, you know, maybe those examples of just when they went to witness, they didn't know what they would say. How am I going to approach this person? This person's so hostile, whatever, but the words just came out, and you just knew it was from the Spirit that the Lord gives us, the helper. Okay, why don't we close in prayer? Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are truly the God of this world. You are you're a God who just loves us so much that while we were in rebellion, that you loved us. You loved us so much. You sent your Son down on the cross, and now just all this goodness you lavish on us, and just you know, asking us to abide in your love, but then you in turn abiding in us is how can that be? That's just, you know, so much more, and you just wanting to lavish grace on us. You're such a good Lord. I just, you know, these words alone here are just enough for me to say, you just are worthy, and you are my God, and I shall serve you and not the world and not my flesh. These words are very convicting, Lord, and I just pray that help me not to forsake the word. Help me just to be in the word, to follow the word, and allow the Spirit to lead, Lord. I thank you so much for this assembly. Help us just, you know, maybe when we're tempted to forsake the assembly, to look and just see it as the bride of Christ and just want to be there and just want to serve you through serving the assembly. Help me with that. Thank you so much for this assembly, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.